Hey guys, Lindsay Ertz here, host of Inside Utah Politics on ABC4. First of all, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for listening. But I did want to let you know that this week's episode is a bit rough in audio quality. We had an issue with our software while we were recording. It was nobody's fault. It was just a technical glitch. But we still wanted to put this episode out for you because we know the content is so valuable and so good. So we would appreciate your listen. We totally understand if you can't listen to this audio because of the quality of it. But I promise we're back on Tuesday with a brand new episode of IUP Plus. And make sure you find us on News for Utah Plus. That is our free streaming app, which is on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire. We'll see you then.
Time now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ertz.
Well, welcome into News for Utah Plus. This is our streaming show today. We are so glad that you're here. This is a show where we go beyond the headlines of Inside Utah Politics, and we discuss the hottest topics going on in Utah and then around the country. I bring in fine analysts like these guys. Hi, guys. Introduce yourselves.
Good afternoon, or whenever this is airing. I don't know if people are going to watch this. Might be 4 a.m. at the gym, I guess.
That's fine. Yeah.
Rusty Cannon, the Utah Credit Union Association. Happy to be here today.
And my name's Sarah Real. I'm on the Utah State School Board, and I work as an adjunct professor at Salt Lake Community College in political science. And none of my words today represent either of those organizations.
And same with you, Rusty.
Yeah, I need to make that ditto claim as well.
Yeah. And I'm wearing my Asia Wilson four-time WNBA winner this year shirt.
First of all, if you watch this show with any regularity, you know that Sarah wears this gold jacket on the show every week. And then it's usually underscored by some women's basketball team or
women's sports,
something like that.
Death, taxes, and my gold jacket.
Those are your favorite things. Producer Peter's here as well. Hi, Producer Peter.
Hi, folks. He's got the fourth box again.
Stay in your box.
Equal size box. He dressed up for us today.
Listen,
what does your t-shirt say?
This is the University of Georgia Rose Bowl bound 2018 Rose Bowl, Oklahoma. One of the greatest games I ever watched.
Yeah, you guys should know Peter's from Georgia. He and I have that in common because my parents live in Georgia right now. So
Bulldog alum.
We are Bulldog.
Born and bred. Go Dogs.
Love that for you. Go Dogs. All right. Well, let's dive right in, shall we? This episode is going to be largely focused on this redistricting battle that we're in right now. And I call it a battle because it was spicy. This hearing that just happened on Wednesday of this week really got heated at times.
TV level, I think.
Yeah, it was really Real Housewives of Salt Lake, like going at each other, bringing up old tweets from 5 years ago, like really dramatic. So let's dive right in. If you're just catching up, okay, Utah's in the middle of redistricting. And why? Because a court has ordered them to redistrict. A court has found, and an appeal has been denied by the Supreme Court, that Proposition 4, which was a ballot measure where voters approved anti-gerrymandering criteria, the court basically found the legislature wasn't allowed to overturn that. They weren't allowed to impair what the voters wanted. And because the judge deemed that they did, they now have to go back and redistrict. So this week we've had two legislative redistricting hearings where we have put forward, when I say we, I mean the legislature has put forward about 5 and 6 new maps, and everyone's kind of analyzing them right now. But I really want to get to the contention of this hearing today. Let's play a clip from it, if we shall, Peter. This is Representative Doug Owens, who kind of took the first shot, I would say, at his Republican counterparts.
Can't lift the hood.
Oh, hold on. We're going to start
Lindsay,
that.
I jumped the gun on you there.
Oh, Peter jumped the gun. Hang on. Producer Peter, you have one job.
We suspect there was a data set incorporated into the test that Dr. Trendy applied, and we are unable to verify. It's as if we're told to buy a car and we can't lift the hood and look.
You just demeaned us.
To the audience?
As legislators,
hold on.
To the public.
There's no outburst.
I will not have that. You called us somehow hiding or lying about everything that we've presented to say that these maps were not developed with any political data. You just misrepresented that, and that's out of order.
Okay, so that was Senator Sandel, the chair of the committee, Republican from Box Elder County, getting a little bit heated at Representative Doug Owens, who made a claim that their expert was maybe looking at partisan data when he drew these maps. Sarah, let me start with you. Was Representative Owens in the right here, or what happened? Because this really started the fireworks, if you will.
Yeah, I thought that he was absolutely in the right to know. If they wanted to see the data, they should be able to see the data that they used and the data that they used to be able to draw those partisan, you know, the partisan data that determine those districts. I don't think it's out of order. I thought that was a little bit extreme on the response. I mean, The Democrats are in a minority. They've been battling this for a long time. I think transparency and openness, if you're so confident about your expert and how they drew those district lines, then you should have all the information there.
Rusty, you look like your head's going to explode. Go ahead.
No, I won't explode. I real respectfully disagree. Yeah. I think Sandel was, Senator Sandel was perfectly fine in getting a little bit heated. He probably, nobody wants to get heated in that hearing. But however, there's probably no better way to get somebody fired up in a hearing is to then accuse them of lying or breaking the law or something like that without evidence. That's what he was accusing him of doing. If you hear the whole part of it, he went on there and said, "We think you looked at partisan data in drawing the maps," which is quite an accusation because you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. That's why Sandel was so fired up. There was the second issue of them hiding, data. And later in the hearing, they talked about that's analytical data. They can do their own analytical analysis all they want. It's not incumbent upon one side to share their result, analytical results with the other. Those were two different things. So that's why he was so fired up.
Yeah.
I think he had a good point in getting fired up because I think Representative Owens was completely out of line. You do not insult someone's integrity in a hearing in the legislature.
Yeah, and I agree with you, but if I saw that behavior, if I didn't see that behavior on the other side over and over again all the time in legislative committee meetings and on the floor of both chambers, constantly that is happening from the other side, then I would maybe feel a little more critical of Representative Owens. But I feel like at this point, the whole process feels really icky. And we saw Sandel also get really grumpy at Owens in the first committee hearing as well. I just, bringing so much politics into something that shouldn't be political makes me feel gross. But I don't think that the Democrats standing up for themselves and asking for all of the information is that far off.
Yeah, I think what he was trying to say later in the hearing was, you had all the information you needed. What they were talking about getting was analytical data. That's essentially you draw the maps, then you run it through analytical data after that. Why would one side share their homework? It's like, go do your own homework. It's like they could have done anything.
If they want us to defend their maps, give us all the information. If they want us to come together on these maps, give us all the information. I feel like you shouldn't be hiding behind closed doors about what you're doing. And honestly, not even to Owens, I think to the public. Like, I want to hear all the information, know all the analytical data of how you drew these lines.
Yeah, but they weren't asking for how they drew the lines. What they were asking for was the analytical data after they drew the lines.
Like the partisan bias test information.
Yeah, it's like, go run your own test. It's like, it just didn't make any sense what they were asking for. I thought it was totally out of line.
So let's move to that partisan bias test. Because what you're saying here, Rusty, is that the partisan bias test is something anyone can run at any time because you can go and do the math yourself, essentially. Yeah. And so the Republicans are saying, well, you're just asking for data that you can go do yourself. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats are saying, we think there's something suspicious, with these maps, and we weren't able to get the data, like you said, to look under the hood of this car that we're buying. Now, this partisan bias test has really kind of been the crux of what's going on right now, as well as looking at the maps and deciding which one would benefit Utah the most. But this partisan bias test, Rusty, maybe you can break it down a little bit for us, because the Republicans want to use this one singular test in order to test for partisan symmetry, also known as fairness of the maps, whether they unduly favor or disfavor one party.
Yeah, so they chose one test. There's plenty of data to show that it's a good test or a bad test, depending on your opinion. I thought Senator Brambo made a really good point in the Monday meeting, I think it was. I'm losing track of days, if that was Monday or Tuesday.
Monday, yep.
We made his presentation. The judge gave them discretion in her ruling to do this. So that's what they're doing. They're using their discretion in picking a test. He also made a really good point that he used the terms cracking and stacking, right? Those two. So cracking, obviously dividing up areas.
Kind of like stacking, no creek in four ways.
Exactly. Right. Or stacking, putting, let's say all Democrats into one. That would be stacking. He made a really good point that I hadn't thought about until I heard him say it. If you went with an idea of, say, a donut hole, whatever you want to describe it as, you would likely produce one very liberal House member and three very, very conservative, like extremely conservative House members in those red districts, because they don't need to cater to any moderates, because their seat is so safe, so Democrat or so Republican, they'd be extreme as they want. on right or left, never have to come to the middle because they know it doesn't matter. So then you produce extremes. I think we would all want in this state moderates more towards the middle, whether you're Republican or a Democrat. I thought he made a great point. That builds the case for doing more of a cracking than a stacking. I thought that was well said by him.
Can you explain the partisan bias test a little bit, kind of like how it's calculated?
Yeah, so...
And maybe you can't, because it's difficult.
Well, it's a little bit... It's difficult. It actually, I can't totally explain it, to tell you the truth. What their point is that it's a test that they use quite commonly. The Democrats' point is they think it's unfair because there has been some commentary over time that in a lopsided state like Utah, that would not be a good test.
Yeah, the way that
that's a fair point, but again, it's the legislature's discretion.
Yeah, the way that I understand the test is that they look at statewide races, the governor, the treasurer, the auditor, the attorney general,
everything,
and they look
Senate.
At the percentage. Yes, mm-hmm. They look at the percentage of what those races were won at, despite whatever party it is, and then you take that percentage. That percentage is an allowable percentage within the districts to be. So if those statewide races are won by, you know, 30 points, then you can have the districts going back and forth between those 30 points.
Mm. And so, Sarah, do you think there should be this one test? I mean, to Rusty's point, he's saying Democrats here are arguing that we need more tests. We need tons of tests. And they even point out, to your point, Rusty, the judge's ruling did say that the legislature was allowed to have this discretion in how they test partisan symmetry. But her ruling, they like to point this out, right, that it's multiple tests
yes.
plural, and the best scientific data, mm-hmm. right, that we have. Sarah, what do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly my argument against Breimer's bill, is that it goes to just one test. I mean, we live in a time with data, analytics, program. I mean, we're in AI. Like, we have so many ways that we can look at maps and draw them and have complex formulas to determine, you know, fairness. And I think limiting us in our process to just one test is not a great idea. I think that there should be multiple tests. And honestly, in a supermajority with, like, so much partisan bias, I feel like it makes it feel... it's very hard for me to get on board. Even though I like that idea of that one test, it's hard for me to get on board because it feels very one-sided, picking only one test.
Rusty.
Go ahead.
Keep going, Sarah.
Well,
I'm
just,
make another point.
You know, the thing that I just keep coming back to on this, right, is the Utah legislature has spent 5 years fighting these maps that voters asked for. They've been fighting them. And I'm like, I just sit here and I'm like, what are you so afraid of? Are you afraid of competitive districts? Because the voters asked for this. And honestly, like, when I look at the districts, it's kind of hilarious to me because we have three Democrats in Salt Lake County that have won Salt Lake County, well, more than that, but on the county council, Natalie Pinckney, Suzanne Harrison, Jenny Wilson, we have Lanny Chapman. They're all Democrats. They've won all of Salt Lake County against very competitive races. And so, but despite that, we still have a legislature that's a supermajority, and a lot of those legislators live in Salt Lake County. So I can see this as, like, you can still win. Why are you so afraid of having these competitive races? And that troubles me because it feels a little bit, I guess the best analogy for me for this entire process and all of these maps is, like, it feels like the legislature is acting a little bit like Tonya Harding, taking the club to Nancy Kerrigan because they don't want to lose. And I hate that. I think that we can do better. I don't care what maps we pick. I care about having fair drawn boundaries that are not biased politically.
Leave it to Sarah to bring up a women's sports reference.
You
but Rusty, are the Republicans kneecapping the Democrats here?
No, I think so. Sarah makes some great points. However, this entire lawsuit only focuses on congressional districts. You mentioned a lot of local races. They apparently don't care about those because this entire lawsuit was only about four congressional districts. Their interest, in my mind, is having a donut hole. If they truly cared about fairness in all, then they would have also sued on the legislative districts. They haven't brought those up once.
My point more was that if you look at Salt Lake County as a whole, we have tons of Republican legislators in Salt Lake County, because Salt Lake County is like the center point of this donut hole that we're talking about. If you look at Salt Lake County, there are Democrats that are winning the entire county, but at the same time, there are a lot of Republicans that are winning within the county. So if we're looking at Salt Lake County as being this, like, big blue area, it not really isn't that much. There are tons of competitive races within that county.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to gerrymander very, very heavily to get a very concentrated Democrat district. However, if you look at the map that was proposed by Democrats yesterday, and maybe we want to get to that, That's what they proposed.
Yeah, Producer Peter, let's pull that map up really fast. So Senator Luz Escamilla and Representative Doug Owens, the two Democrats on the redistricting committee, submitted their own map to the committee to be discussed and dissected the way all the other maps, the five other maps submitted by Republicans have been dissected. Sarah, I'm going to have you defend this map because to me yesterday I heard 13 city splits. And if you know anything about Proposition 4, there was a hierarchy of needs that Proposition 4 outlined, and near the top of that list was city splits. How do you defend 13 city splits?
I can't defend it very well, but I can defend the Democrats for proposing the map. I think that that's fair for them to do that. They get to propose a map. I, you know, in all of my voting history as an adult in the United States of America and as a Utahn, I have been voting in gerrymandered districts. So, yes, they're proposing a map that I think is based on their expert who picked that. And I think that's just as fair for them to propose their own map, just as the Republicans are proposing theirs. But again, I keep going back to the fact that we had voters decide that they wanted unbiased, nonpartisan maps drawn. And the legislature cannot handle the fact that it's not the maps that they wanted. And so they've spent 5 years fighting this, so afraid of losing power. And that to me is just icky, regardless of what party you're in.
Rusty, they do keep saying we're here under protest, right? Mm-hmm. We're here under duress. We don't want to be here. This is a court that ordered us to be here. However, when you look at this map, I mean, did Democrats do themselves any favors by submitting this map?
No. Zero. I mean, if you look at Representative Grease just made a good point in the hearing. If you look at this map in detail, what they did to Immigration Canyon, really? I mean, you complain about dividing Mill Creek four ways, and then you go down the road and go back and forth across the road in Immigration Canyon. I mean, it makes no sense.
But isn't the map we have right now look this icky?
I mean, this looks way worse than
I mean, map. We're sitting in a gerrymandered state currently. And so, I mean, yeah, they're proposing a map that their expert drew it based on their data or analytics or their formula they use. And right now we're sitting in you can run like 1 mile in Mill Creek and be in all four congressional districts as we sit right now.
Peter, I don't think that's the Democrats' map.
Is it not?
No, that looks way different.
Should be.
Because the Democrats one had,
check. I might have pulled this up from a faulty link.
Okay, close.
I have the other five options, I'm at least sure. But let me double check. Rusty said this might not be the map. I was like, let me check Lindsay's
map. Sarah makes a great point. I think we're getting to the point. I guess maybe not too important. I just want to have the right map up there so those watching, you know, have the right information. Because another thing, too, is you talk about compactness. Their map had one district that literally was almost laughably large. I mean, I don't think it, to your
it was
question,
Lindsay. Utah map.
Southeastern Utah. To your point, Lindsay, I don't think they did themselves any favors with that map.
Yeah. I want to go back to the meeting and kind of what happened yesterday. Sarah, the Democrats expert that they brought in to draw this map, the Republicans really took an opportunity to eviscerate him with his tweets from 5 years ago calling the legislature authoritarian. Do you think that was appropriate for them to bring that up in this hearing? Because we heard often the chairs of these meetings stop and say, stay germane to the topic, stay germane to the maps, right? And then they sort of brought up this past history. I mean, I'm sort of like leading you into this question here, but do you find that kind of criticism appropriate?
Yeah, again, it's just this, like, the politics of it. I'm like, I am an elected Democrat, but I believe so firmly in fairness and representation. And I don't care if when the maps are drawn fairly, if that means there's not a Democrat in Congress. I don't care. I care more about being fair. And so when I see things like them pulling in, like, you tweeted this, you tweeted that, it reminded me of when Biden's chief of staff that tried to go through her confirmation hearing, they pulled up tweets about her, and then they decided they didn't vote her in. I just, the politics part of it is so icky to me, and that's why I loved Prop 4. It was non-biased. It was, an independent redistricting committee. They were looking at fairness, and that is what the voters deserve. That's how we should be represented, is in fairness. So playing these petty little childish games, like, you tweeted that, grow up. Grow up and draw us districts that are fair. Take your self-interest out of this process and make what is best for the voters in Utah.
Rusty, do you think it was unfair the way the Republicans grilled?
I don't. I think the witness probably should have remembered the New York Times rule. Have you guys heard of the New York Times rule before? You never, ever put anything in writing you wouldn't be comfortable having on the front page of the New York Times. He probably forgot that. What you say has consequences. If people bring it up later, you're just going to have to live with it. I think it gets to a different point, though, that Senator Brammer talked about the other day. If we keep going down this road, you all bring your witnesses, we'll bring our witnesses, we'll have experts, dueling experts, you're going to have endless litigation. We have to make a decision at some point. The judge said the legislature has the discretion. They're using that discretion to pick a test, and they're going to end the back and forth and just have it cut and dry. I think that's the right way to go. I think it's perfectly defensible. And we get away from hearings like this where it's like, well, your expert said this. Well, our expert said that. It's a never-ending battle that is just not going to end well. So I think they're making the right decision. They're just going to pick a method and go with it.
So I also want to bring up the point that they didn't actually vote on any maps yesterday. And I think all of us kind of assumed that they would. Did you guys assume that? Or did I just, because the court order said they had to release a map by the 25th, but here they have released five maps, so six now with the Democrats' map, right? So the Republicans are arguing, well, if we only pick one and we put it forward for people to vote on, if they hate it, we can't change it, right? So they put forward six. But the court,
before we get too far into that answer, Lindsay, I did just want to make sure that we called people's attention to this is the proper map. I had tabbed over to a different map submission earlier, just to get to some of the points we had mentioned. This is that Emigration Canyon split that Rusty was talking about, where it goes on either side of the road here. And then here are kind of the contested town splits that
if you zoom way out to that, darker color is the one I was talking about too.
Southern Utah district, that would be this, extending from northern Utah.
You can drive across it in like 9 hours.
That is the map at issue. My apologies for the
what's wild to me is there's that many people that live in that part of Utah compared to the other two districts.
Shows you how concentrated our state is.
Yes, for sure.
We all live right here.
Right along the Wasatch Front, which means we have to grab parts of the Wasatch Front in order to make these districts equal in population. Okay, so I can't remember what I was talking about before I was rudely interrupted by showing the correct map.
You were posing the question of did we expect to be
or multiple maps to be released without having like the judge's order basically said release one map today and have people vote on it and make it public, and then the Republicans are saying, well, we can't change it if we do that because the maps have to be posted for 10 days. What do you guys make of this? We haven't voted on a map yet.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I think it's good you put out a bunch of, well, not a bunch, but it's several maps so people can see different ideas. I think if you did one, then you're forcing the issue. Like, put a few out. I think they've done it correctly.
Do you think, Sarah, that the plaintiffs in this lawsuit challenge on this at all? Because they could come back and say, the judge said propose a map, not six maps.
They could. And, you know, the part that's also interesting for me is this public comment piece, because I'm like, do you care about public comment? You know, like, voters voted for something and you didn't care about that. So this whole like, well, we're putting out for 10 days for public comment. I'm like, you're not going to care about that. You don't listen. And so all of it is pretty frustrating, whether they have one map out or seven. It's just a really frustrating process for me because I just want fair lines drawn. And I feel like a lot of this, these intricacies and these details that they're doing, is just like a smokescreen to the fact that they're worried about losing a race. And I'm like, if you're so confident, then just draw the districts fairly and you can win those races. Make them competitive.
Yeah, I don't think that's a fair comment. Perucci mentioned that, and Representative Perucci mentioned that in the hearing yesterday. The judge is prohibiting them from taking public comment into the process. So she mentioned that. They don't have a choice. So it's unfair to say that they ignored the people.
I'm just going to correct the record a little bit, because they could have started this process 4 weeks ago. They got the ruling on August 25th. I know they appealed for a stay to the Supreme Court in that meantime, but they waited until the last Monday, a week before. I mean, could they have given more time for public comment, Rusty?
Well, they could have, but I mean, the judge could also had a decision like 8 months ago. So, I mean, they're under a compressed timeline. The judge is not letting them factor in public comment. It's not their fault.
But they've had two hearings now and they've proposed the maps, so we've at least had two hearings, right, for public comment.
I think they're doing the best they can.
Why even get public comment if you can't take it? But
I think they took a ton of heat if they took no comment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess regardless, it doesn't matter, because I don't feel like they listened to public comment based on some historical evidence, but That is interesting. I didn't know that.
Okay, so we have about 30 seconds left, so I'm going to ask you a really complicated question with 30 seconds left. So tell me your best answer. Do you think that the plaintiffs in the redistricting lawsuit challenge on this new partisan bias test? Because they could make the case, Rusty, and I'll have you speak to this, does this impair the reform of Prop 4 by creating a test, like we talked about at the top of this show, as opposed to multiple tests?
They could. I think it'd be a waste of time. The judge gave them this discretion right in her order. So go ahead, but you'll lose.
Sarah?
Yeah, waste of time is kind of the entire theme here. The legislature has wasted our time. When the voters voted 5 years ago, we should have gone with the maps. They should have done what was there. Instead, they've been kicking and screaming and got us into this whole mess.
Well, there we go. We will leave it there. Rusty, Sarah, thanks for your opinions today. We appreciate it. You guys didn't agree on much today. I love a show
like
that.
We still like
each other. We like to keep it spicy.
We still like each other.
It was a spicy hearing and a spicy episode. I love it. Producer Peter, appreciate your button pushing and pulling up
even when it is not proper button pushing.
Matt,
I do my best.
Thanks for calling out on it, Rusty. Appreciate you. We need corrected at a time or two.
Still love you, Peter.
I want to point out that the chair, the Republican chair of the Legislative Redistricting Committee, will be on our TV episode of Inside Utah Politics Sunday at 8 and 4. And then we also have the Democrat, Doug Owens, who we talked about here. So invite you to listen to that episode because we'll have both perspectives on how that spicy committee hearing went yesterday. And we'll dive deep into it. Thank you all for being here, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.